There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this St. Patrick's Day. Another hour of live local talk. Glad you're here. Get another update from staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams about the weather heading our way with severe weather. You always have weather. Let me insert. You'll be like, we're going to have weather today. You always got weather. But severe weather is the question. Dr. Bill once again said his forecast right now for the... Not for these advanced thunderstorms, but for the main line of storms and straight line winds to be somewhere between 11 p.m. and 1 a.m. So once again, and maybe having a county commissioner in here, he can back me up on this, and man from law enforcement and public safety, y'all go get, they're not expensive, the weather radios that wake you up in the middle of the night, or get the app on your phone, because so many times we have things come through our area while you're sleeping, and, you know, people are like, I never knew it was coming or whatever. Get something to wake you and the family up. Yeah. Commissioner Dewitt, hey.
Hey, thanks for having me, Sean. Good to be here.
Good to have you in here. You agree?
I absolutely agree. And I think there's actually, I've been woken up by my Apple iPhone.
Yeah.
You know, in the
Well, some
of the
people
night.
Will go turn that off. So some people will go in there and turn that off. And if you want to turn off, like, flash flooding or something like that, yeah. If you're on top of a hill, but I don't think there's a dang reason to turn off a tornado warning thing on your phone. That should be on everybody in the family's phone.
Yeah, and particularly when you know there's bad weather coming.
Lay your head down, go to sleep. You have no idea what's happening.
Yeah. Just be prepared, you know, for the bad weather.
Yeah, and have something to wake you up. That's the one thing here. Have some, and, you know, I'm thinking about this as a county commissioner, but all your time with the sheriff's office, you're in the world of public safety and the world of public service. So yeah, it we're going to talk a lot about what's going on in District 3 right now, but also importantly is just day in and day out keeping the people in District 3 safe.
Yeah, that's right. Mobile County as a whole, but you know, particularly.
Yeah, you're not letting one and two. You're not. You are also worried about one and two. I don't
the know. Entire county, but we're here to talk about my district down in South Mobile County, and you know, we seem to get particularly hurricanes, which mm-hmm. these last couple showed us that they can be devastating to the entire county. You know, we and even north of Mobile County.
But, Zeta was. I mean, absolutely. not to take away from Sally, but for us on the west side, Zeta was a booger.
It was very bad for Clark County, Washington County, and some other counties north of us. And, you know, you saw some damage in the north end of the county that mm-hmm. you typically
Citronelle.
Would see,
yeah.
you know, in South Mobile County. But we should always be prepared for inclement weather and try to make sure that we have some way to alert us in case there is a tornado so you can take shelter.
That's for sure. So, yeah, and there's county infrastructure, but I'm just making sure that everybody takes advantage of everything they can to be able to protect themselves. All right, let's do this. And talking about District 3, too, the coastal district, South Mobile County, not to take away from any other districts, but you got the water.
I do.
You got the water, you got
almost
the beaches.
Almost all of the water in Mobile County is in my district.
Right. So this is an area that people from all over, let alone the other two districts in the county, are going to.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty popular.
It is.
From this time of year on through November. And looking at some notes here, this is pretty darn exciting. So I remember reading a little something about this, but can you tell us what's going on with the construction at Bayfront Park and what the county is doing down there? First of all, tell us where we're talking about Bayfront Park. If you're going to the island, kind of tell us where that is and then what y'all are doing.
So Bayfront Park, it's been there for quite a while, and it's kind of a hidden jewel. A lot of people don't know about it. But we want to change that. We want everybody, not just in my district, but for in the entirety of Mobile County and other places in the state, we want people to be aware of what we have to offer in our county.
And people probably pass this quite a bit going to Dolphin Island.
All the time. And so we're in the process right now of renovating the entire park. And I tried to get a boat ramp in there, but I couldn't swing that, or a fishing pier. But so
we got to work. We're going to talk boat ramps here in a second.
What we're trying to do down there, not what we're trying to do, what we're absolutely doing is we're spending some money down there, and it's going to go along with the shoreline restoration project there at Salt Air and the Dolphin Island Causeway. Not to change the topic, but we have tons of shoreline restoration projects, and me being an outdoorsman and a fisherman, yeah, I'm very excited about those, like at Lightning Point and the Dolphin Island Causeway, the Salt Air Restoration Project.
When you talk about restoration, I know it's probably different site-specific, yeah, but generally, if somebody doesn't pay attention to this, like you, yeah, and I do, what does that mean?
Well, they restore the shoreline that's been lost over the years from storms, like we were talking about earlier. Hurricanes wash away those shorelines, and if you go down to Bala Battery much, you know, if you go to where the public boat ramp is, mm-hmm, if you went on the other side of that hill, that was the end of it. You walked off into Mississippi Sound.
Right.
And so now we've extended that out, I think, 500 feet or 500 yards. I don't know.
So you're doing that. Are you bringing in sand, or are you putting up bulkheads? How do you do that?
Sands, bulkheads, riffraff, everything to protect the shoreline in the future. There's actually canals built into it for the rise of the tide and the falling of the tide.
Will that be somewhere that somebody can go out to? I mean, enjoy that? Or is it just as a barrier and a buffer?
Well, it's
for that?
A barrier and a buffer, but okay. You know, there it creates a natural habitat,
right,
on the outside of that for fishermen, inshore fishermen, and things of that nature.
What about on the Dolphin Island Causeway? Because that's an area you travel. Let's say on a day like today, you would travel that and you would see the waves are crashing against the riprap, right? I mean, they're right up there. Is there any way to extend that out further, like it is up by Alabama Point?
That is exactly what we're talking about with the shoreline restoration project.
The current where it is right now, and somebody's driving there right now, where that riprap ends, then there's going to be some sand. There's going to be some shoreline out from that.
Correct. It'll be. I'm not sure the exact number of feet on that one, but it's going to extend all the way back up to Bayfront Park that we were talking about.
Okay, kind of connect in at that level.
Connect that. So at the end of Bayfront, at the south end of Bayfront Park, it'll extend out into the Mobile Bay and come back around to the causeway. And I'm not exactly sure the number of feet, but it's a pretty large project.
Yeah, I'm just looking at this too. Technically, if it helps so many ways, but just short term, if it helps keeping some logs from getting washed up on that causeway,
that's right.
Because that's, you know, we'll get a high water event or storm, and those logs get deposited. Then you got to get a bucket in there, yeah, to move them off.
Yeah, the project that's going on down there now with the causeway, repairing the causeway, that's a totally separate project from DOT is doing that project.
Okay,
and then we're coming in behind them and do the shoreline restoration after that.
So pretty good timing. They do their part, then you come reinforce it with the county.
That's right.
Yeah, we talk about the different areas. So Bayfront Park first, you're working on it there at Alabama Port. Come up the bay some, and what's going on at, and I'm going to use, if this is the right term, Salt Air, because I think a lot of us know that area is Salt Air, right?
Well, it's the Fowl River area.
Fowl River, Bailey's Corner, Salt Air kind of zone, right?
So that's right. So we already have enough. There's also a shoreline restoration project there that's going to extend down to Fowl River. So,
okay,
these shoreline restoration projects are very important for number one, for the environment and to protect our shorelines in the future. But at that location there, the county has some property there, and if you turn down, I guess it's Salt Air, mm-hmm, Drive, which they. Where at one time there is still the Salt Air community and neighborhood down there, and we've acquired some property down there over the years.
So y'all between Salt Air and Fowl River, or
we are actually everything about Jackson Road. Mm-hmm. If you're headed south on DIP, Jackson Road down to beyond Salt Air Drive.
Okay.
So if you turn down Salt Air, the county owns property on the north and the south of Salt Air Drive, but everything between DIP and the bay.
And so,
So we're working on some things down there.
Don't tease me. Come on, Commissioner. So you're working on something.
Well, I'm gonna get to them. We're working on possibly a walking trail in the area, to maybe a location where similar to the old environmental center, where kids can take field trips and go down the walking trail and identify trees and animals and different species of animals from our location.
Good.
There's some wetlands down there. There's another piece of property there that has 1,600 foot of bayfront access, actually, and so we're
okay. You got my attention.
We're still up in the air what that piece of property would be utilized for. But if you go to the north of that property, if you go to the dead end of Jackson Road, since I've been in office, I acquired 5 acres of property there. Where the county acquired the property. And my idea is to put a boat ramp in there, and we're working on the engineering.
Did you just hear the cheers? Did you hear the cheers?
Well, believe it or not, when you run for office and county commissioner in District 3,
you hear something about boat ramps?
The biggest complaint I got was boat ramps, so I figured if I could build some boat ramps, I could stay in office.
Hey, listen, people, I mean, every time I talk about anything, it fills up my text line and phone lines with the boat ramps. Although I've had this discussion over time. Even folks with the state will say, hey, we can do a boat ramp, but we always have the issue of parking. But here you have five acres to work with. So
all on right on the bay. And so it's a little north of what an offshore fisherman may would want to use. Maybe not, depending on the size of
the
boat.
You see the lines the lines at Billy Goat Hole? I'd rather be in my boat than sitting in my truck.
Absolutely.
So this would be, halfway down north of Fowl River, but still not a bad shot to get offshore. But for inshore fishermen, it's great.
Well, it'd be the go-to place. It's right there at Gilliard Island. I'm thinking of four ramps there and 5 acres of parking.
The key.
I think it's a great location. And, we're also working some with Dolphin Island, the Aloe Bay project as well. And there's going to be a boat ramp there as well, too.
But let's do this. I want to talk more about this. We're coming right back, and I got some questions from the text line as well. Our guest, Mobile County Commissioner, District 3, Randall DeWitt, talking boat ramps. Are you happy? This man's talking your language.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Right, welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5, and our guest, Mobile County Commissioner, District 3, Randall DeWitt, and a contingent on the text line already, the big more boat ramps voting block is there. So you said you heard that a lot on the campaign trail. It is a little bit complex that people who don't deal with this like, what's the issue? It's finding a place to put a launch, but most importantly, finding parking. And you got 5 acres for parking. That's a big deal.
And another issue you find is shallow waters, having to dredge out so far in the environmental impact. You want to make sure that you're not having a negative impact on the environment. And we're working on that now with the state. I don't think we'll have many problems getting...
This would be a launch for
permitting from the state.
So. 21 foot center consoles,
inshore boats. Okay. And if we can get it out far enough to get bigger boats out, we will. But right now, the idea is inshore fishermen, and I think it's an ideal location for inshore fishermen.
Oh, it's huge. Yeah it's pretty perfect. You also mentioned we were talking earlier about Bayfront Park.
Yeah.
The plans there, I've been there, kind of, what's going to change next time I see it? What's different?
We're going to have all new roads in there, all new playground equipment for children, new bathroom facilities. We're still going to have down towards the end where people can fish, not a pier, but a fishing. But I guess what's really exciting about it is we're going to have a 300-foot sandy beach there at Bayfront Park now for children to go out and play in the water. And so we're going to have some pavilions where you'll be accessible for people to have birthday parties for their kids there. You know, that's a lot going on. Yeah, and it's a huge, huge project. And I'm excited about the parks in my district, getting some parks going. And no knock to Congressman Carl, but I always said on my campaign trail, if I want to take my kids to a park, I have to take them to Connie's district.
And you got the water.
Yeah, I do. And so we're excited about that park. We're excited about, you know, it, right now it's used a lot of times by locals that know mm-hmm. about it. But we want to really put that park out for everybody from our community and beyond to be aware of that park and utilize that park.
Any general timelines on the what's going on at Salt Air and at Bayfront? Is that a year, 2 years? What are we looking at?
That's a question that would be better answered by someone in the staff.
Okay.
So
well, okay, then
these,
we'll,
project,
we'll
keep... these projects take some time, you know.
Right, right.
So, but my the most... For me, I'm working hands-on. You know, our environmental engineer is doing a great job. Tina Sanchez, I give her a shout-out. She's doing a great job on this park, on these shoreline restorations. But I'm hands-on with the boat ramp. That's kind of my deal.
Good, because I'm going to be checking in on that one. I also want to talk about some economic project priorities.
Yeah.
And the construction of completion of the new South Alabama, what, the logistics park for Mobile County? What is logistics park, people who aren't familiar with this?
Well, it's going to be a 1,300-acre planned industrial park with a Class A warehouse and distribution manufacturing spaces. And you know, there's
is this incentivize like the big companies to come in?
Yes.
Or, okay.
And it's sort of a private public joint project, but it's more private. But we have invested, and I believe the city of Mobile has. And I can't be specific on locations. I can just tell you it's in Mobile County.
Okay.
And I can tell you that there's roughly $30 million being invested in this project, and it could create 1,500 to 2,000 jobs in the next 10 to 12 years in Mobile County, with hopefully a return of about $300 million.
That's and we have some background now with what's gone on already with Amazon and others here, right? And
that's right.
And that seems to be chugging along pretty good.
Absolutely, and we could even see some expansions of Amazon and others that are already in our area in this complex, possibly. And it's a huge project. I was actually working with the developer up to a year before I was ever elected and talking about this project, and I'm excited to see it coming along, and hopefully we'll start seeing some construction on it in the next couple months, and we'll be able to announce the location of that. It's right now it's still under wraps on the because it is
location.
An economic development deal.
How much, and just a few minutes left here, but how much, as you've been in there, the job of commissioner is a bigger project, something that has a countywide, if not a region-wide footprint, and Sean Sullivan calling you about the dirt road that he wants paid. You know what I'm saying? Like, where's that balance?
It's not hard to balance for me. About 90% of it is the small things that I like to take care of. You know, it's
people in the county say, I got this issue.
Yeah, will you check my drainage ditch? Will you, as I walked in, one of your employees here has reached out to me about an issue, and I'm working on that issue. I tell people all the time that I went from being a cop to being a fireman because I'm putting out fires every day now. But that's what the job's about. I mean, I get calls at 2 a.m. I mean, people wake up and say, you know what, my ditch isn't draining. I'm going to call the county commissioner. So I get those calls, and I love it. I'm a public servant.
Talk about this. I mean, in public service, you're doing it as a commissioner now, but law enforcement for...
Yeah. 25 years, 22 and a half at the sheriff's office, Mobile PD prior to that. So
you have had calls at 2 a.m. before.
Yeah, that's right, but I was expecting them.
Yeah.
So, you know, but, and it's, I don't mind it. That's what my life's been dedicated to. And so when the opportunity come to run for county commission in District 3, my home, where I grew up, where I live, where I went to high school, where I go to church, where I fish, where I hunt.
Yep.
It was just kind of seemed like the right fit for me at the time. So,
but this is interesting too. This and a question. I know we're kind of jumping forward on this boat ramp thing, but Don asked this question. We've asked this about the causeway too in the past. Any idea for security cameras at the parking area?
Well, it's the project is so juvenile or so
right,
new that that could be a possibility.
Okay, so Don and I are throwing our 2 cents in, and other people, something to think about if we could figure out.
And not only that, but just to kind of throw this out, I've been talking with Sheriff Cochran a little bit about creating a Parks Police Division through the Sheriff's Office to help us with some other issues that we're having in some of our county parks. And I'm hoping that before too long, that'll be a reality as well.
Good stuff. Well, if somebody wants to ring your phone at a normal hour and talk with you, how do they get in touch with your office?
It's 251, of course, 574-3000. And you can call any time, day or night.
You want to talk big projects, or you want to talk about, oh, it's Sullivan again and his dirt road, right?
Either one.
Good stuff.
Big projects are great, but I'll take any call.
Commissioner, thank you for your time. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me here today.
All right, District 3 Commissioner Randall DeWitt, our guest, and we're coming right back for more of Midday Mobile.
Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Big thank you to District 3 County Commissioner for Mobile County, Randall DeWitt, joining us. Check in with my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry, and I would say repository of metal information as well. I don't know if you can fit that on the sign, Angelo, but it'd be good.
Yeah, that certainly has been the case lately, it seems like. We have had so many people coming in asking questions, whether it's about just basics like, you know, gold and silver, what is bullion, you know, how am I using this to hedge? And then, of course, you got to throw a twist in there and ask me about, you know, rhodium out of the blue.
Well, you know, I mean, I do these things. When I got a question about precious metals, which obviously from the amount of money it is, it's darn precious, that rhodium, I had to ask you about that. But let's talk about gold and silver for a second. Where the prices have been over the last year, where the prices are now, and when you say hedge, that means what? If somebody's going to buy it, to hedge against what?
Okay, I had a great conversation with a customer literally just a few minutes ago. She said, why am I buying gold and silver? I said, okay, a year and a half ago, if you would have bought, you were going to spend $20,000 on silver a year and a half ago, that would have cost you $20,000, obviously, a little over 1,100 ounces of silver at that point in time. To buy that same amount of silver today is going to cost you $36,000.
Cha-ching.
Yes. So
people understand that
$20,000 a year ago is still worth $20,000 a day, but the buying power is significantly different, significantly reduced. Filled my truck up yesterday at $2.79, $2.65 a gallon. A year ago, it was $1.65, $1.75 at the same pump.
No, good point. That as fiat currency, but I mean, as that is lessened in value against things we got to have, energy or other items out there, the same time the precious metals are going up.
They tend to rise with the value of other stuff. So if you need more gasoline, you need more food, then the value of those items are going up. The value of that silver is going up. So even if you bought silver a year and a half ago and cashed it out today to, you know, fill up fuel for your fleet of vehicles, you'd probably be okay because the silver has gone up, the gasoline and diesel has gone up, but it's been pretty equivalent. You wouldn't have lost any buying power. But if you would have just had cash sitting there a year and a half ago and tried to use that same cash, you're not going to be able to buy as much fuel. You're not going to be able to buy as much stuff because everything costs more. That's why you hedge with gold and silver.
Well said. All right. People, get the education that I have over the years with the folks at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Also, gift items of plenty and all kind of collectibles, too. But if people want to come out and talk about this, get that kind of education, how do they find y'all and online, too?
Yeah, we're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street, just east of Whataburger. Online, MobileBayCoins.com. And if you missed the Tuesday night show, Two Guys and Some Change, right here on FM Talk 106.5, you can pull up the podcast on MobileBayCoins.com and listen to it at your leisure.
Angelo, it's always a pleasure, man. I'll see you soon.
Have a good one.
All right, there he is, Angelo from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And friends of plenty today, my buddy Dale Leach from Lanyap, LanyapMobile.com, joins us. Hey, Dale.
Hey, Sean, the only thing I know about bullion is it's good in green beans.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's. I think right now the hedge is not on chicken bouillon or beef bouillon. I think it's more on silver or gold, but we'll have to check.
Gotcha.
I don't know how the futures of beef bouillon are doing. I'll see if that's tracked somewhere. All right, brother. I got a lot to talk about with you. Yesterday, Mobile City Council meeting. Did it go longer than normal? Did they think maybe they were done with doing it remotely? Any takeaways on that?
It was still remote. I haven't heard if they're going to do away with that anytime soon. It was a little longer than normal, which is usually the case if there's. If the agenda looks like it's going to move pretty swiftly, you can bet that it's going to take longer than you expect. So it was a little bit longer than normal. It is what it is.
Well, let's talk about some of the things that are of issue. First of all, give us an update. I fear doing that. Give us an update on Amtrak. Where are we in this? I mean, I don't know who's on. The story keeps changing to me, or it seems complicated now.
It's complicated is the word. It's not changing. It's definitely complicated. This is something. What happened yesterday with the Amtrak announcement is something that I had heard might happen a couple of weeks ago. Just wasn't at a place where we could report it. So basically, the Ground Transportation Board or Surface Transportation Board, the STB, can rule on issues of transportation that involve freight trains, passenger trains, stuff like that. And Amtrak has gone to them now, and since we didn't get that study completed, and Amtrak believes that its own studies will suffice as far as whether or not it could work well with freight operators, they have now asked the Surface Transportation Board to rule in their favor and allow them to run on freight train tracks that are owned by Norfolk Southern and CSX, and they've asked for an expedited consideration on this, which would allow them to start passenger rail from Mobile to New Orleans as early as January 2022, so next year.
Well, okay. Let's go back to this track thing, too, because I know we've discussed this in the past, that the idea is, and I don't know, is it true, I mean, here, but is it around the country that the freight railways own the lines, and then, like, if you're doing passenger, you pay rent or whatever travel fee to be on there? Is that how it works?
That's true, yes. And that's, as far as I know, that's the same. It's the same way all over the country. Is the freight railroads own the tracks, and then the passenger rails use those tracks, and they have the rights of the first use, meaning that if there is a passenger train coming, a freight train has to get off the track and allow it to run past.
Really? Okay. Even though it's their track.
Right. That's right. That's right. Passenger rail gets priority.
Okay. So they got to schedule that. But do they have to? They have to pay rent. But do they have to be allowed? They do have to be allowed on it, even though it belongs to the. Can the freight rail say, "Nah, y'all can't be on here"?
I mean, they can, but Surface Transportation Board can kind of force the freight rail's hands, right? So the freight rails can say no, and they have an opportunity to make their case to the board. They can say no, and here's the reasons why we think this is a bad idea, and the board will take that into account. But the board's decision, I believe, would be the one that matters.
Okay, so they can say no at first, but there is an override on this.
There is, yes, yes. That's why this is going to that board. So this is in place of, and basically what this board will do, will say, yeah, Amtrak, you can run on this track. Here's what it's going to cost you as far as infrastructure. So in a sense, it's going to do what that report we've been wanting to hear about would do. It's just a way to get around it, I guess, is the best way to put it.
I mean, but it seems like this is not the best foot forward, Dale. I mean, we're starting off this idea here, and we can get into whether it's a good or bad idea that always dominates our conversation on this station, but they're getting into this on the already with having to be forced by one in to do another. It seems like this is not the start of a harmonious relationship.
Right, and you don't think you ever want to start a relationship off in this way, correct?
Like, right.
You don't. You want to work together. You want there to be, and obviously there are impasses, and there would be in this scenario too, that you'd have to work out or get somebody to tell you this is how you're going to achieve or get over this problem you're having. But to not to not engage anymore in the study when we had a pandemic that, granted, it was delayed, but everything was delayed, right? So, yeah. Like, to not, to give up on the study after a year or so, and just decide not to do it and just go ahead with the rail service seems like it's not the most harmonious way to do it. Absolutely.
So this, now the other parts of this. So there's this question about use of the tracks, but what about the questions on, they were back to talking about, oh, well, we'll use a facility there, you know, a temporary facility there along the waterfront versus what I've heard discussed at Brooklyn, with Brooklyn having the train interface with the planes and the whole night. What the heck is it going to look like, at least right now? Are we going to have a facility at Brooklyn, or is it going to be along the riverfront?
Well, so yeah, if the train does get rolling in 2022, there's no way they'll have a station approved and built at Brooklyn by the time the train starts rolling.
That's kind of what I was thinking, yeah.
So initially, yeah, the old platform, they call it the legacy spot. The legacy spot, the platform over at the convention center, right there on the other side of Cooper Riverside Park will be where it will definitely start initially if the service is approved. And then there can be talk later about moving it to the airport at Brooklyn and having a station there. And I just got to point out that you've still got the issue of, the paying for operations. So the state of Alabama is required to have some sort of match. And as of right now, the city council has agreed to pay for the match. It's $1 million a year, $3 million over 3 years to operate the train. That would be the state's match. Right now, the city is on the hook for paying for that. Now that agreement was contingent upon the completion and release of this modeling study that doesn't seem to be happening now. So you've got that whole issue too. And granted, anything the city council does pretty much takes five votes. So I mean, they could still push through. They could ignore that previous agreement and push through with a new one that says we don't care about that study. But you're going to have five votes. And I think right now there's two council members that I know that would be against moving forward with this until those conditions are met. So if you've got another city council member on the fence, you're going to have to find your operation money somewhere else.
I mean, this is becoming, listen, for folks that are, you do this and you do this for Land App and you sit through all this stuff and you bring it to us. But people that don't pay attention to it all the time, this is like a Byzantine knot in a, Abu Garcia backlash, man. This is, people are like, what? What is the plan?
Right. I don't know what any of that stuff you said early on was. So other than Byzantine, I understand Byzantine.
Well, I'll take you fishing.
Yeah. Nobody knows, and it's kind of still up there. I don't think the city really knows what's going to happen at this point.
Sorry. That was a laugh of desperation. All right. We'll do this. We're coming right back. More with Dale Leach from LandYapMobile.com. Talk a little bit more about the train story that we've been talking about forever. And just, we're not going to follow through with that study. Talk more about that. Also, got more questions coming out of the city council that is kind of about the mayoral election as well. We'll let Dale parse that out as well when we return.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my buddy Trey. He and his crew showed up down at Dolphin Island, did some work for us earlier this week. Listen, if you've got junk at a house, and this was stuff like debris from cleaning up from Sally and Zeta, still remodeling, but it could be remodeling. It could be just a guest room that's piled full of junk, stuff in your attic. Maybe in the backyard you got the swing set and the trampoline you don't use anymore. It could be at your office. You could have anywhere, your storage unit. Anywhere you've got junk, you want it gone, you're ready to move on, get 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Getting that appointment is very easy. Online or on the telephone, they will work with you. They find a day that works for you, a window of time that works for you, and that's when they show up. They quote you a price. If you say yes, they get to work and get it done right then. Been doing it for 13 years now. My buddy Trey, with 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or just pick up the telephone and call them at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right, continue our conversation with Dale Leash from Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com, which if somebody has not gotten signed up for lanyapmobile.com, tell them how easy it is.
Oh, absolutely. Just go to the website, hit the subscribe button, and we'll get you all squared away for sure. It's not as catchy as 1-800-GOT-JUNK, but we're doing the best we can.
Lanyapmobile.com.
Lanyapmobile.com.
There you go. And click through, get signed up. You could even give it as a gift.
You can give it as a gift, and I think we still have some T-shirts and hats left that come with subscriptions if you guys feel like you need some more clothing in your life.
There you go. All right. I want to, before we run out of time, another of the stories I'm looking at here on the website where people will go. Mobile councilman questions MPO spending and asks ALDOT to investigate. Now, this is the great Maginot line of I-65, right, that Councilman Richardson has discussed in political races of the past.
That's correct. The east and west dividing line, dividing, neighborhoods where I've lived in Mobile and places like West Mobile, Spring Hill, stuff like that. Absolutely.
Yeah. So what's the story that you say that the line above lion's share of money has been spent on project road projects west of 65?
Yes. And I mean, that's accurate. That's accurate if you don't understand what the MPO is supposed to do and how the money is limited. And in my story, I talked to the transportation director of SARPC, who kind of does the administration work for the MPO, but Kevin Harrison is his name. Basically, Kevin goes through and basically says, for the last, since the 70s, I think, the MPO money has gone specifically to fix capacity issues. Capacity meaning, congestion, and it basically boils down to lane increases.
But that's where the growth has been.
Two lane to four lanes. And it's pretty simple. The new development that's happening in the city that's where you see most of the residents going is happening in west of I-65. That's just the fact. I think we all wish that it was, there was more stuff going on in Midtown, downtown. I mean, I live basically downtown now. But a lot of that stuff, even if we did have more development here, a lot of that stuff has been built out. I mean, Government Street is four lanes. Dauphin Street's doesn't really need it except for in the places. Like, there are a few places along Dauphin where they're going to do some work to signalization work or adding lanes because there is congestion there. But the majority of the congestion, the majority of the development is happening in West Mobile. And so that's the issue.
So, I mean, the money is allocated by need of congestion and expansion of the road. There's not something going,
that's
I'll
right.
tell you who I'm going to give it to is this.
It's also a countywide board. But we're not just talking about the city of Mobile. We're talking about Mobile County as a whole, and I know that one of the suggestions that Mr. Richardson brought up to John Cooper in his letter to John Cooper, the director of ALDOT, was, well, maybe the city of Mobile should have its own separate board, and that would seem to solve the problem, except that obviously that board would get less money than the current board does because it wouldn't include the county, and I don't even know what the logistics of that would be like. I don't know if they're allowed to split the MPOs like that or not, because you're dealing with two federal agencies and a state agency that helps fund, well, federal money funds the board and the project, but ALDOT works to certify every 4 years along with those other two, the Federal Highway Administration and another group. They work to certify the Mobile MPO every 4 years. So, I don't think one of those groups has the authority to even block funding if they wanted to. And I think that's one of the elements of the letter that I'm not sure if ALDOT even has that ability to block funding.
Check more out over at lanyapmobile.com. Dale, as always, I appreciate our conversations, and we'll check back in next week.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you.
All right. Dale Leash, LadyAppMobile.com. Yeah, go read those. Well-written, because it takes a well-written story to understand what the Sam heck. All right. Paul Feinbaum on the way next. I'll talk to y'all tomorrow. Be safe tonight.